Good morning, church and friends of Blessed Savior. I would like to welcome all of you to our online worship service this morning. If you are new to our church, we look forward to the time when we can meet you personally in our house of worship, where we gather to hear the Word of God and respond to Him with our praises and offerings of thanksgiving. If you'd like a call from one of our pastors, please call the church office and contact us through the website www.myblcc.org. As you know, we're still under the state of Illinois' quarantine, which means that all of our church activities are suspended until the order is lifted. The order stands in place until Maundy Thursday, April 9th, which means that we will still have some restrictions till after Easter. That does not mean the church is closed. The church is the people of God, and as such, our main activities are worship, Bible study, prayer, fellowship, and service to one another. While our personal contact may be restricted for a while, all but up-close and personal fellowship can still be done. These things will continue. But even fellowship can be maintained through phone conversations, texts, and emails. FaceTime and Skype also give us opportunity to actually see each other. Please reach out to help if you need it. Call the church. If we can't help you, we'll help to find someone who can. We do have some great news this morning. We welcome into our church family Finley Brooks Grant, born on Thursday, March 26th, to Hannah and Nathan Grant. We have a couple of pictures here to show you. He's a handsome young man. Congratulations to Nathan and Hannah. So we turn our attention now away from the business of the church to this Lord who comes to us to bring us the words of comfort. We gather today celebrating life, life created by the Father, life restored by Jesus Christ, the life of all the living, who is the resurrection and the life, life sanctified by the living breath of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our confession this morning is based on Psalm 116 and Ezekiel chapter 37. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. We come before our Lord, confessing our sins and seeking His forgiveness. Let us take a moment of silent reflection to examine our lives before Him. Gracious God, we confess that we have longed too much for the comforts of this world. We have loved the gifts more than the giver. In your mercy, help us to see that all the things we pine for are shadows, but you are the substance, that they are quicksand, but you are the mountain, that they are shifting, but you are the anchor. We plead your forgiveness on the merits of Jesus Christ. Accept his worthiness for our unworthiness, his sinlessness for our transgressions, his fullness for our emptiness, his glory for our shame, his righteousness for our dead works, his death for our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord will open the graves and put his spirit within his people, and they shall live. God in his mercy has given his Son to die for us, and through his death brought life and immortality to light. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take a moment now to share the peace with those around us. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is found in the prophetic writings of Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle for this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue by singing the next hymn, number 420, "Christ, the Life of All the Living."
Thank you. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We've been talking these last couple of weeks about very important, popular miracles and stories about Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the woman at the well and how Jesus revealed to her her entire past, and by his word alone had many come to his side. Last week, we learned about a blind man who was given sight by Jesus through spitting in mud and anointing his eyes with it. And by the actions of Jesus, and by the subsequent unraveling of those actions to the chief priests and Pharisees, the man came to know Jesus as the Christ. There's been a constant theme that we've been seeing these past 2 weeks, that of words and actions. We know that both of these things are very important when you want to be taken seriously. Words themselves are very powerful. We all know the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a bit untrue. Words do hurt because they're powerful. Words can have a long-lasting effect on people. I mean, this can be seen back into the very ancient days when people actually thought that if you had a proper name for something, if you knew a secret name, a secret word, you could control that being, whether that be in a spiritual sense or even a very real physical sense. Words have power. We saw that with Jesus and the woman at the well, whereby just by speaking to her, inviting her to talk, she had faith. And many who heard the words of Jesus in that Samaritan village came to have faith in Jesus as well. Words are powerful. But actions speak louder than words. I can say anything that I want, but unless my actions prove my words true, how can you take me seriously? That's something that we see many times in our politicians today, as well as other people around the world. When they say one thing, but do another, or don't keep their word, we automatically don't even relate to them. We actually don't even listen to them. Why should we listen to their words when their actions are completely against that? It's utter hypocrisy. Actions speak louder than words. Jesus knew the meaning of this as well. Look at all of his miracles that he did. None so more than the healing of the man born blind, for that was not done at any time since the foundation of the world. And yet, Jesus healed him. His actions spoke that he did something that no one else could have done. Actions speak louder than words. And yet, we need both. We need both words and actions. If you have one without the other, then the actions are just nothing. You can do them, but if there's no purpose behind them, what good are they? If you don't have your action because of the words and you just keep saying things, but you do nothing about it, then what good are they? Today, Jesus knows this. And that is why he comes to us in a very different reading. One that actually is very confusing and presents to us a Jesus that is very hard to understand at times, because it seems like what he is saying and what he is doing are completely at odds with one another. The story takes place near the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth. In a couple of days, he will be going up to Jerusalem to go into the final week of his life, where he will be crucified, died, and buried. But it first begins with some news. A family who he grew close to in his ministry, two sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus, have had a family crisis. Something that kind of is hitting near and dear to our hearts right now is that Lazarus became sick with illness. And it seemed to be a pretty significant one, because Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus. You know, the same Jesus who was their friend, who was loved them like they were his own family. And they said to him, "Hey, could you come and heal our brother? You know, the one who you love like a brother? Could you please do that?" Jesus hears this word. He hears, and immediately we think that Jesus will go down straight because he loves Lazarus. Of course he's going to go heal him. But instead, Jesus receives this news. And because he has received this news, he waits 2 additional days. Lazarus is sick to the point of death, and the guy who can heal him purposefully waits 2 days. Don't need to be a medical professional to tell you that 48 hours can make a difference in any sickness, the difference between life and death. After 2 days are done, Jesus says to disciples, "We're going down to Judea, to Bethany, where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are." This is going to take a bit of a trip, too. It's not just a quick jaunt over. It's going to take some time. Now, they were about to go, and the disciples didn't even understand why he was doing this. There were Jews there who were about to kill Jesus, stone him to death because he declared himself the Son of God. He declared himself to be God. And they were very frightened because they didn't want to see their friend, their teacher, die. But then Jesus says, "Lazarus has fallen asleep." Jesus knows that he's dead. The disciples don't understand that. And so he tells them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Now Jesus is glad that he hasn't gone to heal his brother whom he loved? You're telling me that Jesus is glad that he was not there. What about Lazarus? What about Mary? What about Martha? Does he not care? We know Jesus is loving. This has been proved throughout all of what he's done before, but here we have a very different Jesus, one who is sitting here and is glad that he was not there, so the glory of God may be revealed, whatever that means. Jesus' words and actions are a contrast, it seems. We see this happen soon after when Jesus approaches the family. They are in grief. Mary is inconsolable at first, not even wanting to leave her house. Martha, in pain and grief, goes to where Jesus is and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Martha knows that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. She believes that firmly within her soul. And yet, she has faith that whatever Jesus asks, God will give to him. It's amazing faith. One that I don't even think I would know if I would have. That was my father, my mother, my son, my wife would have died. She has faith, but she's in distress. She asks Christ for anything. And in response, Christ says that indeed she will see her brother again. The words of God bring little comfort to her at this point, though, as she declares that she knows she'll see Lazarus again. on the last day, when all the dead are raised from their graves. But Jesus responds, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha does believe these words. She says, yes, Lord, I believe. It's something that us Christians, we believe as well. These are words of comfort that we say in our funeral services. Words of comfort we tell ourselves that we will see our loved ones again. For through Christ and through faith in him, because of his resurrection, all who die yet shall live and have eternal life. These are words of comfort to us. And yet, where's the action? How do we know this to be true? We see another disregard almost for that action in words. For Jesus says these things and he goes to the tomb. Mary leads him, finally getting into this picture, and goes and leads Jesus to the tomb of her brother. And at the sight of the tomb, Jesus weeps. And the Jews who came, friends of Mary and Martha, family of Mary and Martha, see Jesus doing this, and they have the two reactions that any person would. Half of them see how much Jesus loved Lazarus, that he weeps for him. The other half, well, if this guy could cure a man born blind, how come he could surely have cured Lazarus? But Jesus weeps. This is the question of the hour. Jesus is full of love. He knows our pain. He weeps because he knows the pain of loss. The one he loved as a brother is dead. And he waited. And yet, this is so hot. He is the water of life, who his words bring everlasting life. He is the one who makes blind men see, and men who think they see blind. We understand all of this, and yet we are like Martha in this time. We confess that Jesus is the Christ, and yet we still have the pain. We still say, Lord, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. If you would have been here, then this pandemic might not have happened. If you would have been here, my child would not have gotten sick. If you would have been here, my plans would not have been ruined. If you would have been here, well, this can go on and on. But we have that confession. But I know that anything that you ask for God will be given to you. How can we have this faith? How can we have this faith that knows that Jesus' words are true? How? Especially during this time. Well, he shows us today why this can be in two distinct ways. First one you already heard. He weeps. Jesus is God. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who formed us in his own image. He is true God. But he's true man. God was not far off from his people. Instead, he came down, was enfleshed as a human being, and therefore had all of the emotions and all of the sorrow and all of the grief and all of the pain that we have living here in this world. Jesus felt every single bit of it. He understood the pain of loss. He understood the pain of despair. He understood the pain of sickness and death. And he weeps like any normal person would. And yet, his words still ring true. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the living water. I am the Son of Man, the promised one to come. And so Jesus raises his voice on high, looking at the stone-carved tomb, and he says, "Lazarus, come out." And the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life, that though the person dies, shall live through me," calls out a dead man, and a man comes out of that tomb alive. He is alive in both spirit and alive in the flesh. He was supposed to be dead for 4 days, skin rotting, and yet he comes out whole. Christ's words ring true. Christ's words and actions meet in this one point. And he will do it again when he goes up on that cross just a couple of weeks later, and when he says, "Lord, forgive their sins," as he became sin on the cross. He says, "It is finished." And indeed, by his death and action on the cross, sin and death are destroyed forever. And God made this true by raising him from the dead 3 days later, putting his stamp of approval, putting that assurance that all who believe in Jesus Christ, though they die, yet shall they live. So do not let these words grow dusty with time. Remind yourself of these words daily, especially during the darker hours of our lives. Meditate on them. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. That's all right. It'll be okay. The creed. I can do it from up here and we can switch. Okay. Yeah, I know. That thing is so sticky. And we confess our common Christian faith. In the words of the Nicene Creed, we confess, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue our worship with our gifts and offerings.
We wanted to thank you for worshiping with us today. This is Eric Stocke from the Worship Committee, and we have some news. We've had several requests in the congregation for a way to give online, and we have a regular giving method with Joyful Response, but if you'd like to just log on to the website and give online anytime, anywhere, we have a new app to do that. It's called Tithely, Tithe.ly, but you don't even have to remember that. If you go right to the website, we've got a post about online giving being here. You can click, you can read more about it, and you can either set up an app or you can just give anytime, just right from the website, just hit the button. And we thank you for your support and in any and every way that you support us in our worship and our ministry.
Let us pray. The resurrection to eternal life has come to the world in Christ Jesus. Let us pray for the deliverance of all who belong to Christ by faith and for all for whom he died and rose again. O God, as you created everything out of nothing by your mighty word, so you have brought resurrection and eternal life to light by the mighty command of your Son, Jesus, who went through death and emerged victorious over it. Help us to learn from Ezekiel's vision the death that comes when we lose faith and the life we gain through your Spirit. Receive our praise and thanks for your gift of eternal life. Help us to live as your resurrection people, bringing the great power of your word to all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As our Lenten season soon transitions to Holy Week, help us to continue to recognize our sin, our need for repentance, and our dependence on our Savior. Help us learn from Paul's letter to the Romans to continually put to death those things of the flesh that lead us astray, that we be fed and led by your life-giving Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up those who mourn and carry grief and sorrow in the loss of loved ones, especially the family of Herbert Miller, former president of the Southern Illinois District. Comfort his family, Faith, and their children who are in deep mourning. In the hour of our death, help us learn from our Savior at Lazarus' tomb that death is not the last word of this life, that we rejoice in your promises made, fulfilled, and yet to come of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Enable and equip us now to be heralds of the hope that is ours and witness to Christ and the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, prayer. Inspire and bless all called to preach your word, and in this time of isolation, make us ever to hunger for the body and blood of our Lord Jesus through the gift of the Lord's Supper. We look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom when no earthly pestilence, no virus, natural disaster, nor death itself will be able to cut down the glories of heaven. Help us by your resurrection power that we do not grow weary, but grow in compassion and perseverance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Jesus, during your ministry on earth, you showed your power and care by healing people of all ages and stations of life from physical, mental, and spiritual ailments. Be present now to people who need your loving touch because of the coronavirus. Deal mercifully with Joe Moore, a close friend and grandpa figure to Hannah Grant, who has contracted the coronavirus in his 90s. May he feel your power of healing through the care of doctors and nurses. Oh Lord, take away the fear, anxiety, and feelings of isolation from people receiving treatment and those in our world who are under quarantine. Give us all a sense of purpose in pursuing health and protecting others from exposure of the disease. Protect all families and friends threatened by this disease and bring peace to all with your abiding presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort, merciful Lord, and graciously heal all those who are sick or infirm, disabled or troubled, especially those on our prayer list and most recently added, Randy Morton, Bob Morton's brother, Randy, who has recently been diagnosed with throat cancer. Watch over Lorianne's uncles, John Cusack and Don Moravec, both dealing with advanced cancer. And keep your tender embrace around little Michaela Wolf, the Krantz's precious granddaughter, who was hospitalized with a respiratory virus but is now showing symptoms of spinal bifida. Breathe your life-giving spirit into all in need, that hope, comfort, and peace in you may be theirs. Remind us that our ultimate healing is in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that life is like a book. With each new chapter, we learn and grow towards what you would have us be. Bless the birthday celebrations this week of Keith Solga, Blake Bartimus, Zora Boggs, and Abby Wilgos. As the chapter of their past year is finished and recorded, now grant them faith to face what is yet to be written, knowing that in Scripture you have already finished and published for their comfort and joy the final chapter for everyone in Christ, which culminates in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, we give you thanks for the arrival of Finley Brooks Grant this past Thursday. We know how fond of children you are. As you blessed the children who came to you, so bless this child. Protect our dear Hannah as she recovers in the hospital. Keep her safe from all harm and danger. We all look forward to the day of Finn's baptism, where you have promised him the abundant life and the glories of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty and ever eternal God, we give you thanks for blessing Carol and Dale Schutte by granting them another year of marriage filled with love and mutual support. Protect them, O Lord, and grant that their love may be in the image of the devotion and love of Christ for his church. Grant them a long and fruitful life together in joy and in peace, so that through your Son and in the Holy Spirit, their hearts may be always rise to you in praise, their lives may continually live in response to your eternal goodness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord smile upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us enjoy and sing along with our closing song, Christ is Risen.
Come stand in the light.